joined us for Your Limitless Life. This is Pastor James Moffitt, and we're, like I said, we're so glad to have you join us tonight. And one of the things is, as we're hoping that viewership would be up, last week we weren't able to be on live, and because I had to go out of town for a couple days, but we're back. And so let as many people know as you can that we are back and we're live and we're ready to go. If you have already liked and shared, we so much appreciate that. But if you haven't, please like and share and let people know that we are on. And remember that we are in real time. And so if you can comment and let us know that you're watching, we would be so grateful. And also, because we are real time, if you have any questions while we were talking about the subject matter or anything concerning the Bible, if you want to ask that question, we will answer you sometime during this broadcast to the best of our ability, according to the Word of God. And also, if you have a prayer request, we would love to come into agreement with you and pray with you and also receive the testimony that God had answered the need that we had come into in agreement with prayer with you on. And so, also, one of the things too is that if you get this broadcast and you're able, if you're watching this broadcast and you're able to, would let us know, because we're still working through some things. But if you would let us know if the time going, showing up at a later time or starting the broadcast at a later time would benefit you, we can work on doing that as well. Maybe 6 o'clock or maybe 6:30, whatever the case may be. If you think that that would be a good idea, please let us know that, and we would try to make that happen for you. But tonight, I want to talk to us about rejoicing in the Lord. Rejoicing in the Lord. And I'm going to read from Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. And this may be a familiar verse for a lot of us, but maybe not. Maybe you're listening and you're not too familiar with the scripture. So we want to read it together, and I'm reading it in the New Living Translation. If you want to follow us along on with whatever translation that you're reading, that's fine. And if you also want to write it in your translation on the comments, that would be great as well. The Word of God says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice." And I believe in the King James Version. God bless you, Brother Joe. So good to see you. Hallelujah. Up there, and it's probably cold where you are on your island. It's perfect here in the desert, so we're thanking God. Actually, a friend of mine was saying that a woman from Oregon was laughing at him today because he was bundled up, and she's from Oregon, so she was sort of chuckling at what we call cold out here. So, so praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother Joe. But the Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say, rejoice." And I was saying this on our Sunday morning service, and I was just thinking, you know, and this is soon to happen, and I believe it with all my heart. You know, there's a tendency sometimes in church or in the body of Christ to think that every time that we come to church, we have to be overburdened. Every time that we come to church, we have to be going through something. Every time that we come to church, there's always something to be sad about, you know, and a lot of times, if you actually look at how the churches are set up, because obviously there's different people that come in and we're all dealing with different things and we're all at different stages or whatever. There's a lot of Kleenexes, but I've been into churches where there's more Kleenex boxes than people in the church. And I don't believe that that's God's will at all. And I believe very soon that there's going to be most everybody that walks into the house of God is going to be rejoicing, smiling with a bright countenance on their face and ready to worship God. The Bible says, "I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I will enter his courts with praise, and I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice, for he has made me glad." And that's what Paul said. He rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. And you'll notice, like, again, hey, Sister Abby, God bless you. Thanks for watching. And you'll notice a lot of times, and I've been guilty of this, growing up in church, and because that's what I saw modeled over and over again, we have a tendency to think, well, this is how church is. But sometimes, just the way, because that's the way we do church, we do it out of tradition, but it's not necessarily according to the way the Word of God is written. But so we do it because it seems like that's what's going on. And I'll give you an example. So I used to do preliminaries, or what we call preliminaries, or the person that's opening the service, or, you know, an after song service, they'll come up and they'll take the service, take the offering, and do different things. Well, one of the things that I used to always do, because I always had it modeled in front of me, I always had not only, and not that we shouldn't be serious, so don't take this the wrong way, we should take everything that we do in Christ very seriously, but I don't think we should always go up with a heavy spirit, and I don't think that we should always be saying things that I used to say. Well, I know we're all tired today. Well, I know we all had a long day. Well, I know we're all going through something. Well, I just want to say this. Not everybody's going through something, and not everybody is had a long day, and not everybody's in a bad mood. That's what the enemy would want us to think. And I think sometimes, just because out of tradition, or it's almost been a little bit ingrained in us, that we think that because we're Christians, we have to be sad, or we have to be going through something, or we have to, you know, or even if we are going through something, we have to react like the world would react. But we don't have to. And that's why Paul was writing to us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. He said, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. No, rejoice in the Lord when good things are happening than bad things are happening. No, there's not an asterisk next to that causes you to, you know, read to the middle part of the Bible or go to the bottom and it gives you another explanation that'll say, well, you know, Paul really meant, you know, we're all going through something. No, he said there is no circumstance in which we're facing that we should not rejoice. I'm going to say that again. There is no circumstance that you are going through and that I am going through that should cause us not to be rejoicing. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to be down. He wants us to always be focused on the negative instead of the positive. Well, things could be better, or things could be worse. So depending on how you look at it. And so that's, you know, it's a glass half empty, glass half full kind of thing. But with us, the glass or our cup should always be running over. Amen. Our cup should always be running over, because we've been in the presence of God, and we he's filled us to the overflow. And because of that, we're making everybody else's, or we should be doing our best to make everybody else's lives around us better, and not adding to the sadness or the circumstances that are going on around us. And one of the ways that's easy to do that is even at work. Like, and I've been, again, like I said, with doing preliminaries, I've done that at work and got caught up into the negativity of work conversations. Well, the boss is on my back. Well, did you see this change? And now they want us to do this, and all these things are going on. You know, as a believer, there should be a check in our spirit. And the Lord had to deal with me about that I was actually adding to the problem and not making it better. And you have to realize, especially when, you know, when you're line staff, or you don't even know the people that are over you, obviously they have a bigger picture of why things are happening, and we may only get bits and pieces of the information. Our job is to support the person that is over us, and to take whatever information that we get, implement it with joy, and to try to bring joy and understanding to those that are around us, and not to enter into the negativity that we can so easily fall in. But like I said, we're not all struggling, and we're not all having a bad day, and we didn't all have a long day, but we're alive, and this is the day that the Lord has made, and it's a decision that we will rejoice and be glad in it. I want us to read Psalm 100 and verse 3. Psalm 100 and verse 3. I sort of want to say this. You know, if you're watching and you might want to say, well, maybe this isn't the episode for me. You know, Pastor saying to be rejoiceful, you know, all to rejoice all the time, or whatever the case may be. But no, if you're going through something, then this is exactly what you should be watching. tonight, and that the Lord's going to fill you with joy. Psalm 100, beginning at verse 3. It says, acknowledge that the Lord is God. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And this is what a scripture that I just quoted a little bit ago. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God never changes. He's always the same. And if He was faithful then, if He was faithful in this Bible and to every person that we read about in the Word of God, then He's faithful to you and me today. And that's what a lot of these stories are in there, to because His name, the Bible says, is faithful and true. And so whenever it is that we read these stories are not meant for us to look and see how rough life was for them, but it's for us to look and see what God brought them through and what they overcame, because it was God that was working on their behalf and in their life. For the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever and for all generations. And so, like I said, I don't want us to, if you are going through something and you don't want to, you know, and you're saying, well, you know, I'm not in the mood to listen to something joyful today. I need, you know, something to help me with what I'm facing. This is exactly what you need to hear. And sometimes, you know, again, the enemy wants to get us discouraged, and he wants to get us isolated, and he wants us to get in dark places and think about how bad everything is. That's the exact opposite of what you need to do. And if you're facing something today, or even if you're not, let this just be a blessing to you and to worship with us about that God is good, and that we're the sheep of His pasture, and His name is faithful and true, and He's going to bring you through it, and we are to rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. You know, a happy Christian shouldn't be a rare thing to find. A happy Christian shouldn't be a rare thing to find, or a smiling Christian shouldn't be a rare thing to find. Or a legitimately rejoicing Christian shouldn't be a rarity in life, and especially in the house of God. That's one of the ways that you can know that God is really moving in His house or at a particular church, is because you see people laughing, you see people rejoicing, you see people hugging each other and lifting one another up. And that's one of the powerful things about going to church, is that if by chance that you are going through, Aunt Brenda, God bless you, love you so much. If by chance you are going through something, the Bible says that the brethren are there to help lift you up in the middle of what you're going through, to be a strength to you, to encourage you and to edify you, that this thing ain't gonna take you out, that they will speak truth in your life and pray over you and to bring you out of that funk that you know the enemy's trying to keep you in. So everybody that comes to church shouldn't be crying. There's gonna be people that are going through things, but for the most part, I believe that most of us that walk into the house of God should have smiles on our faces. And those of us that are walking around in everyday life, one of the ways to, I believe, the Bible says obviously that they will know that we are His by the love that we show one to another. But there should be something about a believer that stands out. There should be something about us that when you know, with all the things that are going on in the world today, that there should be something about us that catches people off guard, and not in a negative way, but a positive way. We shouldn't be getting upset at the things that the world gets upset about. We should actually respond in a different way and let the world see that there is an alternative to the way that everybody else is acting around them. So I want to read Psalm 144 and 15 in the King James Version. Psalm 144, 15. It says this: Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. If you could, there's already an emoji up there, but if you're watching and you can say amen to that, if you could put a, I don't know if you're, if you know how to do it, because some people are on Facebook and some people are watching us on YouTube, but if you can write a happy face emoji that if God is your God and you're happy, then we'd love to see you do that. Listen to what this says in the New Living Translation. Sister Connie, God bless you. So glad you're watching. Amen. It says, yes, joyful are those who live like this. Joyful indeed are those whose God is the Lord. Joyful are those that live like this, who know that their God is the Lord. We would have an excuse not to be joyful if God wasn't our God. There you go. Hey, Jenny, God bless you. There's those smiley faces. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Hey, baby, glad you're watching. Cute, happy faces. But, you know, we would, if God, we would have, literally, we would have an excuse if God wasn't our God. But He is our God. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. In Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter and the 27th verse, this is what God says. And amen, Sister Kathy, God bless you. This is what God says. He says, is there anything? This is God asking the question. And this is for all of us to answer. No matter what you're going through, put this question next to it. Is there anything too hard for me? That's what God said. Jeremiah 32:27. Is there anything too hard for me? And let me ask you that. What are you going through right now that is too hard for God? What circumstance are you facing right now that is too hard for God? And it's easy for us to say, well, nothing. God can do everything. Then the next question has to be, do you realize and understand fully that if that happy are the people whose God is the Lord, that if He is your God, then He'll do it for you. Then if He is your God, then He'll do it for you. Whatever it is that you're facing, whatever circumstances that the enemy's trying to lie to you about, you know, and if it doesn't happen, you know, usually there's a time crunch next to it, and if it don't work out by this time and all of that stuff, God is so intricately involved in every area of your life that He wants you to know that there's nothing too hard for Him, and that if He is your God, He will move on your behalf. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17. Zephaniah, which is, that's probably a rare book for a lot of us. But I want to read this. I actually shared this on our on a Sunday morning. But it's very powerful. The scripture says, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. The Lord thy God that is in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What am I doing? I'm down here worried about something that I'm going through. And my worry isn't able to change one thing about what I'm dealing with. Think about that now. We get so, that's what the Lord said. He said, can one bit of worry change one, you know, our hair different color? None of that. We worry about things, and literally, I want you to understand now, out of the book of Jeremiah that we read, out of the 32nd chapter, I believe it was the 17th verse, God asked this question. He said, is there anything too hard for me? And we answered, no, God, of course, you could do anything. And then we personalized it, and we said, no, and if He is my God, He'll do it for me, because God is no respecter of persons. That's what Peter said. He said, I perceive that the Lord is not a respecter of persons. So if He did it for them, and if we read Him doing it for them in here, out of Hebrews chapter 11, the Hall of Faith. If he did it for them, he'll do it for you too, and he'll do it for me too. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never, never changes. But my God, in the midst of thee, the God who is with me right now, is mighty. And he's mighty to what? He's mighty to save. He's mighty to save. So listen to this. I want to sort of read this, but I want to ask a question at the same time while I'm reading this. So listen to this. The Bible said, he's rejoicing over me. How come I'm not rejoicing over him? The God who is with me is mighty, right? He is rejoicing over me. So why aren't I rejoicing over him? He's not worried about me. Why am I worried? He's resting in his love. How come I'm not resting in his love? He's singing over me. Why aren't I singing over him? About that situation or about that circumstance that the enemy is trying to weigh you down with. Did you understand that? So that's what I'm trying to get us to see. The Lord who is with you is mighty, and he's mighty to save. He is rejoicing over you. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. My rejoicing doesn't mean that I'm not going through anything. My rejoicing means that I fully trust in the God that's rejoicing over me. I'm fully rejoicing that knowing that while I'm going through this, the God that I serve is with me, who is in my midst. He's mighty, and he's mighty to save, and there is nothing too hard for him. And so he is resting in his own love. So you know what I need to do? I need to rest in his love. He's rejoicing over me. So you know what I need to do in return? I need to rejoice unto him that he is working all things together for my good because I love him and I'm called according to his purpose. He's singing over me with joy. So that you know what that means that I should do? I should return the favor back to God who is doing that over me. I want to read this in Psalm 62 and 6. Amen, Sister Abby. Psalm 62 and 6. Listen to what it says. He, talking about the Lord, is my rock and salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. We used to sing a song a few years ago. We used to sing a song. It was, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the water. I shall not be moved. And you know, we need to think that's a good song to keep in mind. And this is why I read this scripture. I shall not be moved. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. This is what Paul said. This is in the New Testament. And we know all of the things that Paul went through. Beaten several times. He said, I bear on my body the scars of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was beaten for the Lord's namesake. He was left for dead, stoned and left for dead. He was shipwrecked and left at sea several times. So there was a lot of things that he went through, but listen to what Paul's response is here in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life dear unto myself so that I may finish my course with joy. Hallelujah. When the enemy tries to bring in issues and circumstance into our lives, all he's trying to do is move you. All he's trying to do is move you. That thing and that circumstance is trying to get you to move, to uproot, to try. Now, and I want you to understand this, because this is what happens a lot of times, is that the enemy, instead of us resting, remember what I read in the book of Psalms, that the Lord is rejoicing over us. He's resting in his love. Remember that we are to do everything in Christ from a position of rest. And the enemy, when he tries to bring in worry, when he tries to bring in anxiety, when he tries to bring in all of the things that that are going on around us. What's trying to happen? What's the enemy trying to do? Or what's that circumstance trying to do? It's trying to get you to move. It's trying to get you to move. It's trying to get you to move. Not only positionally to try to get you to move, he's trying to get you to act on it. He's trying to get you to worry about it. He's trying to get you to get anxious about it. He wants you to move. The devil wants you to move. And the Lord says, I want you to rest. I want you to rest in me. I want you to rest in my love. I want you to know that I love you so much. I'm working all things together for your good because you love me and I love you and I'm rejoicing over you and I want you to rejoice back over me. But God, this doesn't feel good, but it doesn't change the fact of God's character and that he is faithful, that he is true, that if he said it, he's not man that he should lie, nor son of man that he should repent. If he said it, will he not do it? He will do it. Because he loves you and you're his child, you're his son, you're his daughter in whom he is well pleased. But the enemy or that thing is trying to move us, Sister Maribel, God bless you, trying to move us out of rest or out of the position of rest. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. Whatever that situation is that is trying to cause you to move or to try to get you out of a position of rejoicing always. And again, I say rejoice. Whatever that thing is in the middle of it, you should just, I pray that this tonight, this broadcast is helping you to remember, oh, I was moving on that. And I need to get back into a position of rest. I need to, amen. Amen, Aunt Brenda. Amen, Jenny. God bless you. I love you so, so much, you guys. We have to sometimes, and that's why I thank God for his word. And I thank God for the brothers and sisters in Christ. I thank God that his word never comes back void, but it accomplished that he sends it forth to do. These loving reminders that come across, man, okay, I started moving on this thing and it's getting me all worried and I'm trying to put my hands all over it and I'm trying to work it out. No, I need to pull back because what you put your hands on, God takes his hands off of. But when you remove your hands, God's hands replace. And his hand, and when it's in his hand, you can mark it down. Now, it may not happen in, you know, again, we want it, it has to, I don't see nothing moving. Doesn't mean God's not moving. Doesn't mean God's not moving. I'll just use this as a testimony and I'll move forward. When I was with the sheriff's department, I thought, you know, I'm doing all this stuff. Nobody even sees. Nobody's noticing. There wasn't a trace anywhere. Nobody. I was thinking, man, I want to promote. I'm in prayer. I'm asking God. God, promotion comes. It doesn't come from the north, or it doesn't come from the west or the east or the south. Promotion comes. The Bible says from the north, it comes from you. You sit up. You take down, but Lord, I'm yours. And God, you know, you said that just like with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel, they were 10 times wiser than all those that were around them because of the anointing that was on their life. Hallelujah. That you, God, you said that you would cause me to stand out in every area, like with Joseph. And I'm praying all these prayers and I'm getting all worked up, you know, concerning my promotion. And God, you know, and we got bills and all this stuff, you know, my family, like God doesn't know all these things. And so I'm going through all this and then, you know, and then come to find out, you know, fast forwarding, when I got to sit in after I got promoted, and now I'm sitting on the promotion board, now getting and interviewing people that are now was in the same position that I was praying God move me out of and promote me. Now I'm on that board to help promote them, that they got to come and I ask them questions to help them promote. When I was sitting in there, some of those people that were on my promotion board told me, James, you didn't know, but during this time, which was the exact time when I was in prayer and could not see God moving anywhere on my behalf in the background, that my supervisors were having meetings with my name, as the subject, getting me ready and talking about me and getting ready to promote me. I didn't know any of that was going on. I didn't know any of that was going on. And my mom has a testimony this very similar to that. You know, and God will do the same thing for you in your circumstance. You may not see him working in the physical, but that doesn't mean he's not working. He's, look at the, what Romans 8:28, for we know, you got to know this, that God is working all things together for the good of them that love the Lord and are the called according to your purpose. So he's not working all things individually. He's working all things and weaving them together perfectly on your behalf. That's good news. And so I thank God for that. So when the enemy tries to bring in issues and circumstance into our lives, the only thing he's trying to do is to get you to move. Don't move. Don't move. Stay rooted and grounded in love. Lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but on all your ways acknowledge him. And he has already walked your path out. The path of the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by God. So he's walking with you in them. And he's going to walk you in to a good place. Rejoice in the Lord who is mighty and who is with you. And he will save. Hebrews 11:6. You'll probably quote it, but I'll just read it. Hebrews 11:6. Glory to God. Amen, amen. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who comes to him must believe that God exists. And that he is a rewarder of those that are sincerely seeking him. That's what it says in the New Living Translation. But in the King James Version, it says, he that would come to God must first believe that he is. Believe that he's what? He's mighty. The Lord that is in your midst is mighty and he will save. That God is able to do anything. And that God will do anything, not just for them, but he'll do it for you because he loves you. You're his son. You're his daughter. You're his concern. You're who he cares about. Amen. And so when if you know that, then the Bible says we must first believe that he is, that he's able. And here's the good part, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God is going to reward you for being faithful and not getting in allowing yourself to get anxious or allowing yourself to get overwhelmed or allowing yourself a rewarder. Amen. He's, hey mama, God bless you. Love you so much. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That means that just like we read out of the word of God, that the Lord who is in our midst is mighty. He will save. He will save. He will save. He's rejoicing over you. He's resting in his love. He's singing over me with joy. What response then should I not give back? Hallelujah. If he's rejoicing over me, then I shall rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm not allowing these things like Paul. None of these things will move me. He's the enemy in that circumstance is trying to get you to move. But stay when you've done all to stand. Stand therefore and see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord will allow you to see that he's moving on your behalf. Oh, I'm telling you, there are people that are watching even now that you're waiting on God to do something. And God, you're going to see God. He's going to allow you to see it with your own eyes. That his name is faithful and true. And if you can trust in anybody, you can trust in him. He is faithful, and you're going to see, he's going to allow you to see it with your own eyes, and he's going to bring you the victory in Jesus' name. Now, because I want to read in Psalm chapter 1. I love Psalm chapter 1. Many of us could quote it, but I want to read this. Listen to what the psalmist said. Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked. In other words, we don't ask like it. We don't act like the world acts. We don't get worried when things come or this is going on in the world or what about this situation? What about that circumstance? Again, all these circumstances are there or being used or positioned to try to move you out of your place of peace, out of your place of rest, out of your place of joy. Don't let it move you. I shall not be moved. Amen. So don't follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners. Don't get in those conversations where everybody is negative. Or if you're in the conversation and you may be carpooling or whatever the case may be, and you're sort of like a captive audience, turn the conversation around. Amen. If everybody's talking negative, inject some joy into that thing. Inject some positivity into that thing. Inject some life in that thing. Again, life and death are in the power of the tongue. You have, because of the power of the Godhead that resides within you, and you have the DNA of your Heavenly Father in your bloodstream, that when you speak, things begin to change in the atmosphere. You shall have whatsoever you say. You can change. Amen, Jenny. Make it positive. Turn that thing around. It's not going to stay negative. I'm going to make sure that I'm going to turn this thing into a positive spin to give God glory. Don't stand around in sinners. Don't join in with mockers. But they that delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. What are they meditating on? This promise? Every promise in this book is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Every promise. We used to sing this song. My mom used to sing this a lot in church. We grew up hearing it. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. That's what we say. That's what we meditate on day and night. And that will change our natural circumstance because God, like I said, out of Isaiah 55:11, God's word never comes back void, but it will accomplish that he has sent it forth to do. You release the truth of God's word on that situation and it'll turn it around in Jesus' mighty name. This is the verse that I love. Verse 3, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit in each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all that they do. Amen. And so this right here, and not a lot of people like this, but this right here tells you that we don't live in seasons. That literally the Bible says that in every season we will produce fruit. Amen. Because we don't allow ourselves to be moved by circumstances and situations. We are trees with our root system deep, deep. They that plant themselves in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Glory to God. Your root system goes deep, deep down into Christ Jesus. No matter the storm that seems to be going on, it does not affect you. And no matter what the weather pattern is that's going on around you, will not affect whether or not you're bearing fruit in that season or not. Amen. So I want to look in Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. This is Jesus. This is Jesus speaking. He's responding to his disciples. Luke chapter 10 and verse 18. Oh, let's go back to 17. When the 72 disciples returned, listen to how they returned. They joyfully reported to Jesus, Lord, even demons obey us when we use your name. Even demons obey. They were joyful. They went out and they were having all kinds of encounters, running into demons, and they came back joyful. Praise the Lord. Even demons obey us when we use your name. Look at Jesus' response. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Hallelujah. The Lord saw, amen, the enemy being cast down. He saw that. Look at what he says. Look, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. You could walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. God bless you, Brother Corey. Love you so much. So listen, so what I wanted to point out here was, is that Jesus, you know, if you know the story, he empowered these 72. They went out. He said, you know, and then when, you know, they had all kinds of encounters. But you, through the name of Jesus, they were having demonic encounters. They were having all kinds of things. But they came back rejoicing. But look what Jesus said. He said, behold, I've given you power over all, and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And but he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. He's defeated. But he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. This is the common denominator for the believer. That because our amen, mama, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that right now in heaven, they know your name. Not everybody can say that. Not everybody right now. We pray that everybody's name eventually, the Bible says, the Lord, his will is that none perish, but that all would come to know him. But one thing, that if God is your God, that your Lord, the Lord, your God is in your midst. He is mighty, and he is mighty to save. You don't have to wonder whether or not he knows about you. You don't have to wonder whether or not he sees what you're going through. He knows your name. Your name has been registered in heaven. He knows you. Rejoice, whatever it is that you're going through. Rest in the fact that God knows your name, that he knows everything that is going on concerning your life. And the Bible said that he is rejoicing over you. He is resting in his love. He is singing over you with joy. And so if he knows your name, then that is good enough reason to rejoice no matter what earthly thing that we are facing and going through. Now, I want to go back to Philippians 4:4 again, and I want to read just a little bit further, and I'm going to tie all this and come to a close. If you have any questions about anything that we're talking about tonight, or any Bible questions or anything, I appreciate so many comments. They're all amazing, and I thank you guys for interacting. That's what our heart's desire is that we have a lot of interaction on this show, and that we're here to encourage one another through the Word of God. Philippians 4:4, and I'm going to read it to the 9th verse. Listen to what it says. In the King James, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. I'm reading this in the New Living Translation. It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Just in case you needed me to reinforce this, he said, I'm going to say it one more time. Rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. In other words, and this is for us believers. In other words, what Paul is saying is, don't let your attitude be affected by what you're going by. Don't let your actions be affected by what you're going through. Let everyone see that you are considerate in everything that you are doing. Because one of the things that, you know, again, that's how you can tell. It's one of the barometers that you can tell, well, this thing has gotten to me further than it should. It's taken my joy. It's stolen. Remember John 10:10. The enemy, the thief, has come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The enemy's coming to steal your joy. He's coming to steal your peace. He's coming, you know, he's trying, the enemy, that's his job. Our job is to remain rejoicing and to stay still and not allow him to move us. So he said, let everyone see that you are considerate and all, be considerate in all that you do. Remember, the Lord is near. Hallelujah. The Lord, our God, who is in our midst, is mighty, and he will save. Listen to what the 6th verse says. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we could understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, hallelujah, and honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all the things that you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you might say, well, Pastor, you know, everything that you're saying is good, but what I'm going through is different. Okay. And that's one of the things that the enemy, right, Jenny, fruits of the Spirit. Amen. Think on these things. Whatsoever things are good, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are peaceable, whatsoever things are full of joy. Think on these things. Let it dominate your mind and your mindset. Whatsoever a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so we're no greater than the sum total of our thoughts and even our mood. So whatever we allow to get in will show on the outside as well. And that's why he said, in all things, let us be considerate. So and to make sure that we are living on the outside, make sure our outside is showing that we are full of joy. Amen. Christians should smile. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. We should, you know, even if we are feeling a little down or whatever, we remember, make sure that we are demonstrating what we believe. You know, if you're happy and you know it, say amen. But let your, we used to, again, my mom's on, so she's probably laughing, but there was a song, if you're happy and you know it, then we used to say, then your face will surely show it. If you're happy and you know it, you know, clap your hands or say amen. I used to sing all of these songs in Sunday school, you know, growing up. But now, you know, a lot of times, thank God, like even today, amen, Brother Corey, is why the Bible casts down every thought and imagination that tries to exalt itself up against the knowledge of God. The devil is a liar. But, you know, it's funny because a lot of the songs even that I grew up singing or whatever, they come to my remembrance today. And it helps me in my walk with the Lord. Let's look at Proverbs 15:13. The reason why I wanted to say, because it's easy, because the enemy will go, yeah, you know what, that's all good, and we understand that all sounds good, but what I'm going through is a lot different, you know, a lot different than, you know, what anybody else is going through. Yeah, the devil will make sure that that's what you think, because he's trying to get you isolated in your thoughts, and he is speaking a lie. But the truth of God should already be planted in our hearts, and the truth should be counterdicting or counteracting that lie that's coming in and casting down, like Brother Corey said, every thought and imagination that's trying to exalt itself up against the knowledge of God. In other words, don't let a low word become high in your mind. Amen. So the reason why I wanted to bring this up is, you know, Paul is saying, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice in Philippians 4:4. You know where he's writing this from? Anybody? You know where Paul is writing this from? He's telling us, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Paul is writing the book of Philippians from a prison cell chained to soldiers. He's writing this to us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He's writing this to you. He's writing this to me from prison. You know, amen, Jenny, from jail. That's right. And if anybody had any right to be upset, anybody had any right to be down and out or to have an excuse to have a bad day, it was Paul. But Paul said, none of these things move me. Because he knew what he was called to do, and he knew his name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What did I say? Proverbs 17:22? Is that? No, I said Proverbs 15:13. Let me read this here. Proverbs 15. A glad heart makes a happy face. That's what it says. A glad heart makes a happy face. Do me a favor and try to put some more happy emojis on there, like my Aunt Brenda did with the happy face emojis. Look at what it said. A glad heart makes a happy face. In other words, it's just like we're saying, our face the countenance is, I think the word it talks about in the King James Version, a glad heart keeps a happy countenance. And so our face and our expressions and our actions are determined. Thank you, Jenny. That's awesome. So should show what, you know, what we really believe. Amen. If, you know, if we really trust in the Lord, then we shouldn't walk around, oh, I don't know. And it shouldn't be so worried and being all over our countenance. You can tell whether somebody is really over worried about something or not, and they can't think about anything else. They start to get happy, but, you know, and it's like there's a book called The Tale of Two Cities. My mom and I talk about this. Thank you, Sister Jessica, for the happy faces. Amen. My mom and I talk about this, and the devil tries to make sure that this is the way all the time. Maribel, thank you so much. God bless you. Great happy faces. So we talk about, there's a book called A Tale of Two Cities, and it starts out by saying this. Great, Sam. Awesome. It says, it was the best of times and the worst of times. That's how the book starts. A Tale of Two Cities. And the devil will always make sure. You ever notice that in life? The devil will, you can't even fully celebrate a good thing because you're dealing with this thing. That's how the devil wants it. Amen, Brother Corey. Awesome, happy faces. Amen. Amen. So the devil is always there trying to steal your joy. You can't even fully celebrate a victory because, well, now I got to deal with this. It's the best of times and the worst of times. But the way to get back at the devil is laugh at him through the whole thing. And that's what we talked about the other Sunday. I think it was a couple Sundays ago. Laugh with God and laugh at the devil. Laugh with God and laugh at the devil. Amen. So Proverbs 17:22 said, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Proverbs 17:22. A merry heart, M-E-R-R-Y, doeth good. It means a happy heart is literally like medicine. And that's medically proven that a lot of the things that we are dealing, not just, believers and unbelievers alike, because of stress, some of us could say amen to a lot of stuff. Stress that we deal with, our bodies react physiologically because of the stress levels that we carry. And stress, where does stress come from? Where is it rooted now? It's rooted in fear. It's rooted in worry. It's rooted in anxiety. All of those things are from the devil. Amen. And so but God says, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. For the Lord who is in your midst is mighty, and he will save. He's rejoicing over you. He's resting in his love, and he's singing over you with joy. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. And remember what the Lord says. Don't rejoice just because, you know, you got that victory over the devil, but rejoice because he's subject to you. He's already defeated. But rejoice because your name is written in heaven. God knows you by name, and he knows everything that is going on with you. And he promises you that he's bringing you to a good place and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. You can't even, the devil is trying to steal your hope. If you think, like, you know, you're already, well, tomorrow's going to be, you know, or in Spanish, one of my favorite sayings in Spanish is la misma cosa. So it means the same thing every day. It means you're not expecting anything today better than it was yesterday. This is just the way it is. And that's not you. That's not you. The Lord has good things for you, and he's walking you in there to give you a future and a hope. That means we get up every day wondering, oh God, I know yesterday was good, but today's going to be better. Or if yesterday wasn't so good, then today is going to be better than it was yesterday, because you're bringing me in, you're bringing me higher and higher. The Bible says the way of the transgressor is hard, but the way of the righteous shine brighter and brighter as the noonday. That's our promise in Jesus' name. Amen, Jenny. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. To be an amen. That's in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand there are pleasure forevermore. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And I'm going to read this last verse and then I'm going to close. Remember, if you have any questions or whatever before we get off of the broadcast today, please go ahead and write them on there. It doesn't have to be even about our subject matter. If you just have any questions that are on your heart or whatever, we'll do our best to answer you, of course, from the Word of God, whatever your question may be. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. Amen. It's a real short one. In the New Living Translation, it says, always be joyful. That's it. That's the whole verse. Always be joyful. I'm going to keep going. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ. What's God's will for me? To always be joyful. Pray about everything. Give him thanks. Remember, be anxious for nothing, but in all things with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, rejoicing, make your requests known to God. And when you do, the peace of God will come and envelop you. Peace that passes understanding. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Amen. And what is it? Remember that we read out of the book of Jeremiah, where God asked the question, is there anything too hard for me? And the answer is no. And that includes what you may be going through right now. Remember, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Or Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, always be joyful. Amen. So we pray you enjoyed this broadcast again. We apologize for not being with you last week, but we're going to be here next week and the week after that and the week after that going forward. And then we're actually looking forward to trying to add more days if we're able to. I don't know if you guys heard me in the very beginning, but if you think that starting a little bit later, maybe 6 o'clock, would be easier for you to tune in, or more people would be able to tune in during that time, we would sure consider that as we're even considering bringing in more days as we're moving forward. But we pray that this blessed you tonight, and that it at least caused you to smile a little bit and to be joyful. I know, just like I said in the very beginning, not everybody's sad. Not everybody's having a bad day. Not everybody's had a long day, you know. And but even if that was the case, and today wasn't maybe that good of a day for you, it is a good day because your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and Jesus is your Lord and your Savior. What could be better than that? The Book of Romans, I think it's chapter 5, and I want to say verse 6 around there. Don't quote me on that, but I think it says when we were hopeless. And that when we were hopeless and in sin, the Lord came at just the right time to save us. Hallelujah. That's good news. Matter of fact, I got to read one more verse. It's in Psalm 126. And this is one of my favorite verses. This is one of my favorite verses. Psalm 126, beginning at verse 1, that I just been quoting this to myself over and over and over again. It says, when the Lord brought back his exiles from Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang with joy. We were filled with laughter and we sang with joy. And the others, the heathen, said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. And this is our response. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us and we are glad. Or it says, what joy.